So Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, and Father, we pray that you would lead us and guide us by your Holy Ghost. And Father, we also thank you, Lord, that your word is sharp and powerful and stronger, Lord, than a two-edged sword, stronger than a two-edged sword, Lord, cutting and dividing between bone and marrow. And Father, how we need, in the days that we're living in, Lord, to be able to trust in our Heavenly Father as we go through this here life called life. And Father, we look to the author and finisher of our faith, our Redeemer and our soon and coming King, Lord, who's coming to fetch a spotless bride, that where he is, Lord, we may be also. But Father, we thank you that even now, Lord, as we are on this earth, you're preparing your bride. And so, Lord, may we occupy and may we be those who are about your business and, Father, about your ministry until Yeshua Mashiach comes to receive his bride. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise the Lord. So, what I was thinking about tonight, and as I said last week, that we would look at God's order in a little bit more detail. And I put out that message this morning about Matthew 24, verse 35, a very powerful scripture. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And really the context that was put in is that it is about, he was declaring the times that they were living in and to see the times that they were living in and to know the times that they were living in. About a fig tree, and you know its seasons and you know its times. And when you see in the springtime, you see leaves forming. I don't know if you've ever seen a fig tree. We used to have one in the back of our garden in South Africa, and in winter it was bare, but in spring it started forming leaves, and before you knew it, it was full of leaves, and the next thing, beautiful fruit would come out of it. And so the Lord was talking about this, and he was saying, there are these things that are going to take place, but we need not fear. And he says that heaven and earth shall pass away. So the world as we see it as a moment is not going to be as we see it at the moment anymore, but he's creating a new heaven and a new earth. And that is an incredible understanding when we get to that teaching, that one day we will be with him and he's going to prepare a place for us that we may be there where he is. But he says that even as he's going through, we are kept here in this world. One thing that is going to keep us is his words. And so the word of God is our yea and amen. And it will always be there for us. And you think about the testimony of how the word was kept intact through the ages, that it is still available to us today as God intended. Now, we see through a glass darkly. And that what that means really is that we don't see all things, and all the scriptures are there for our admonition, but also our keeping power. And they are preserved there for us as a guide. What is that guide for? Well, it's to lead us to everlasting life. And so he says, this word, and we know where that word came from, because in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and it was by the word that all things came into being. And it says in 1 John 1 verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. And it says, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, the interesting thing is the revelation that we get out of this is that it was from the beginning, and they heard it, they beheld it, and they handled it. And he says, the word of life. And we know that other scripture, and that word became flesh in John's gospel and dwelt amongst us. So that is an incredible understanding, that this word then is now taken and has to be declared unto us, that we may have and be able to partake of eternal life, and also ultimately that we may have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And so while creation and nature declare the presence and harmony and order of the all-powerful God, sin has blinded man's spiritual eyes. And I'm going to get onto that just now. Because the influence of sin left mankind without hope and incapable of acknowledging God or understanding God, his precepts and his orders and his order towards us. So unless God in his mercy permits man to become conscious of his presence and of his love, man is without hope. And unless our spiritual eyes are opened by the revelation of Jesus Christ, we will stumble around in darkness without a knowledge, without a cause, and without understanding the goodness of God towards us. And so the ultimate expression of love was demonstrated when God began to remove the darkness and blindness that had settled upon humanity. And his love for mankind stirred the heart of God to reveal himself towards mankind. And his love enabled us to see the light and ultimately to see God's order. And not only did God provide nature to teach us, but he also gave us a conscience through which the Holy Ghost would reveal to our hearts and to our minds the purpose and the required order as has been declared in his word. And accepting the word of God as a prime declared order, as revealed by the Holy Ghost, man should bow down to God's sovereign being and to his sovereign wisdom. And the question that we can ask ourselves, does man or should we have an opinion about this? And the only opinion that we should actually have when it comes to God's sovereign being and to his wisdom is that we bow the knee. In other words, we submit to God readily and we humbly accept his direction in our lives. And so it's only the courageous and the wise that would have this revelation in their heart to submit to God's order and to his word. And because God is unseen and he is a spirit, so therefore man hasn't seen God. And although it declares in the word that they beheld him, but that was the incarnate. So in other words, because we cannot see God, sometimes our capacity and understanding is a little bit blurred. And man needs to accept that restoration to God's order will have to be by faith, because we can't see him, but by faith we believe. And this means a decision to abandon our natural reasoning or circumstances that challenge the order of God, and as it has been declared in his word. So every man who is sincere in his determination to become established in God's order understands that he needs a spiritual revelation based upon the word of God. And so the valiant man in pursuit of God will pursue God's will, in other words, his will for our lives, and also to understand or to get to know his order. As a man, we need to know that we cannot depend upon our natural reasoning and our natural intellect for spiritual revelation. And so the order and purpose of God related to the spiritual realm can only be realized by divine and spiritual revelation of the Word of God by the Holy Ghost. And so 1 Corinthians 2 verse 7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Now it's an interesting subject, that, because this word right in the beginning about a mystery has been debated in all sorts of avenues and all sorts of religious institutes. But really, if you take the original Greek word of that, it means mysterion, which basically means to shut the mouth. And so what we can take out of this is that when we speak the word of God and we start getting to the meat of the word of God, those things are hidden from those who haven't been called or chosen. So it's only the remnant that will get this mystery, because it's by deep revelation of the word of God that this mystery will be revealed. Now, it takes faith to accept that which is led and given in secret, as it were. You know, so God is almost saying that, you know, when Moses came down from the mount, he blinded those that were received. And they said, "Cover your face, Moses, it is too much to shine." Well, the thing is that in this world nowadays, there's so many people that are caught up just with the blind, mundane things of God, and they're led almost as sheep to the slaughter, because they... And it's not a bad thing to be sheep. It's a good thing to be sheep. But the thing is that sheep also have to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. And so we get into this situation here where God wants to reveal a lot, but there are those that cannot take it. And so we've got to be willing to say, how much more do we want of God? How much closer do we want to get into a relationship with him? And do we want to go into the higher realms of glory? Because it says, which God ordained before the world unto glory. Now the thing is that the man in the Garden of Eden was designed for glory. And we have been designed to accept and partake of glory. And so we need to get beyond the veil, as it were, into the holies of holies, because that's where glory is. And so 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So here, the only place where spiritually and discern are used together in the Word of God, and is used a little bit different to discern, as in the gift of the Holy Ghost, or discern spirits. This is a good thing to discern. So it's the word anakrino, which means to investigate or determine. In other words, you ask, you question, and you examine, and you judge, and you search all things. So when we are called, so that says the natural man cannot receive these things, but we're not that. We are spiritual. And so we've been called to be awake. We've been called to be alive unto God. And so if we then should know them, and we should be those desiring to have the glory of God revealed into our lives, we need to be about those that in the spirit, ask. We are in the spirit that we can judge. In other words, we are called to judge whether these things be so, but also we are called to ask the Lord to have that revelation revealed to us. And that's by the Holy Ghost. So when we come under the sound of the word, or when we read the word, ask the Holy Ghost to reveal it to you, that you may see the deep spiritual things that God wants to impart into your heart. And so we can only anticipate that God wants to share his heart with us. He wants to reveal to us, and that is to vessels that contain his mystery and are able to spiritually discern how they are to be appropriated for A, yourself, and B, for others. And here now is the glorious truth waiting to be realized and joyed by the valiant man. Not only does God hold the important revelation of God's order, but with the revelation of the word comes God's divine enabling power by which a believer is enabled to comply with God's order. And by the power of his word, we enjoy the glorious transformation that God offers to us. So simply, faith is action based upon obedience. I'm going to repeat that. If you want to have a definition of faith, it's action based upon obedience to the revealed word of God that makes a man to be considered a valiant man for God. And 2 Corinthians 7 verse 15 says, and his inward affliction is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. And so this is the beautiful thing. When someone comes under the anointing of God and sent as a messenger, and we need to have people sent by God, that when this love comes, and it's the love letter of God that comes from heaven through vessels. But the one thing that you want to see is the fruit that is evident in a person's life who comes and brings that message. And when it does, receive them. And that's a beautiful thing. And now the thing is that, like I say, when the word of God is preached, it should, like they have that Emmaus effect, Emmaus Road effect, that their hearts burnt when the Lord was with them. And so our hearts should constantly burn when the word of God is preached, because it changes us into his glorious image. And Philemon 1 verse 21 says, having confidence and obedience, I wrote unto you, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. And here's the beautiful thing is that when the one who gives the message, the ripple effect of that is that more will be done in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's powerful. You know, that's that ripple effect. That's that pass it on effect, you know, that there is more out there going and proclaiming the good news and delivering a good message of faith. So with faith, it demonstrates that the believer is trusting God to do great things in his name, appreciating the importance of receiving an engrafted word. And that is, you know, we have been grafted into the vine, but the word is able to now penetrate and engraft itself on the fleshly tabernacles of our hearts. And we, in a personal relationship with God, become the drive and the thrust of the soul within us that is yearning to become acquainted with God's word. And amazingly, so through faith, this is delivered into people's hearts, and that faith now resonates with the heart of God to receive his word gladly, but also to become acquainted with what the scriptures say. So amazingly, through this simple principle of surrendering to the revealed word of faith, all who God is to a once hell-bound sinner. Through faith, grace abounds towards the believer who is established in God's order. And that's Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing is impossible. And he takes that which was impossible and makes it possible. We need to believe that God can change us men to become valiant, to make a difference in this generation and generations to come. Transformed to be new creatures in Christ, the divinely ordered believer arises in the glory of being a worker together with God. And this is the valiant man that God intended men, that God intended us to be. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with them, beseech ye also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. So, let's move on. You know, God is the God of eternal purpose. As a natural man, it is very difficult to comprehend all about him and the greatness of our Heavenly Father. Even with our limited knowledge, can we come to grips with his eternal plan and purpose? And that's a question. And through the knowledge that Paul, that he states in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 12, where he says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So nothing, we haven't had all revelation revealed to us yet, because we don't see completely. But one day we will be face to face with the Lord, and then we will have a lot of questions answered. And even now, I get it in part. And this is the beauty about the fivefold ministry. You see, the thing is that when a prophet preaches, I get more revelation than when a teacher preaches, because it's a different ministry and I receive from that. When an apostle preaches, you get that solid foundation laid in your life. It's a little bit different to when a pastor preaches. And so all of it needs to be combined to make us see better, as it were. And what do we want to see? Well, we want to see the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Lord Jesus Christ, high and lifted up in the temple, in the body of Christ, that all men should be drawn unto him. And as we study the scriptures and receive our revelation by the Holy Ghost, even with our finite understanding, we realize that the God whom we serve in his eternal glory, in his eternal purpose, planned for those who are brave enough to believe and trust in him, that his plans and glory far exceeds as we can see in the natural, in all creation in the universe. God has also declared that in due course, he will destroy the glory of this world. So we look to a new heaven and a new earth. And 2 Peter 3:7 to 12 says, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store reserved for fire unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So as we understand in part, we can see that God has a plan for this place that we currently call home. And so we, however, like I said, we look for the new city, and its builder and maker is God. However, one fact is that the soul of every man and woman will endure eternity. And how glorious is it to know that God's mercy has made provision to include us in his eternal purpose to be with him in heaven as opposed to hell. And so there is no doubt that mankind is the focal point of God's intentions, as we know that the adversary, in other words, the devil, contends for every soul. And God has planned something far greater for those who will trust him. And I tell you what, he's planned something far greater than what we can even imagine or think. So the valiant are not fools and are willing to contend and even give up their lives for such glory. Romans 8 verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." And then let me read the scripture here. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 to 10 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would open eyes in this world. Lord, that you would open up ears in this world, that they may hear and that they may see what is written." And it says, "Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." So this is the beauty about this prayer, is that eyes need to be opened and ears need to be unstopped, that they may see the love of God that he has towards them. Because it says in verse 10, "But God had revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." So while those that are lost to this world and are wrapped up in their dedication to temporal ideals that will soon pass away, God's valiant men have come to realize that God has designed a place and a purpose for them in his eternal plan of glory. And having a realization that can only be revealed to us by a Spirit and established in our hearts, we commit ourselves to attain to this purpose no matter what the cost. And we contend to reach unto glory. And as the Apostle Paul declares in Philippians 3, 7 to 11, "But what things are gain unto me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." You see, folk, the times that we live in, there's adversity. And although we're in this year of pay or kaf, and it's an open door. And we believe that God is opening up doors. And we know that he's opening up doors. But I really believe what he's opening up doors has already been done, because the veil has been rent in two. And the way into the holiest of holies, which is the greatest door that we should be able to enter in freely, into the holiest of holies, into his glory. And yes, God is opening up doors, but he's opening up doors to deeper revelation of who he is and his love towards us. And so what we need is, we need to count all things but loss for Christ, that we may gain all things by contending for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And that in anything, when people look, and when we are pressed about on all sides, and we are squeezed by this world, that out of us may come Christ, having been found in him. And it's not what you've been able to stand on, but because you've been standing on the rock Christ Jesus, unshakable, immovable, and will last forever. And it's the righteousness of Christ that will be revealed in us. And so, when we are weak, he is strong. And when we seem to lack faith, he is faithful. And so, it is the power of his resurrection that will work in us, no matter what we are going through, that we may even be partakers of his sufferings. Even if we have to be conformed to the image of his death, because if I die daily, I'll be raised up in newness of Christ. So when somebody comes against you with a railing accusation, how dead are you? If you're dead, it doesn't have an effect. When an arrow of the devil comes and it gets pointed at you or gets shot at you, and you get this whack from the devil, if you're dead in Christ, it's not going to affect you. You see, this is it. Who's alive? Is it Christ alive, or is it the flesh that is alive? And so, here is the thing. No matter what we go through, we need to attain unto greatness. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think that's enough for tonight. If there's anybody who would like to close in prayer tonight, please just raise your hand and I'll stop the recording afterwards. Praise the Lord, Les. Thank you.
Yes, Father. Although I've just come on late, apologies for missing all the word. But Father God, from what I heard, Lord, just thank you, Lord, for the fivefold ministry, Lord. Just thank you for your apostles and your prophets and your evangelists, your pastors and your teachers, Lord. Just pray for all these valiant men, Lord, who continue to walk in your Holy Spirit and not walking in flesh, who continue to stay true, Lord, to your word and for your glory only, Lord, and for the extension of your kingdom, Lord, you know, not for self or building one up, but Lord, for everything, for your glory. And Father, just for that veil, Lord, that has been rent in two, that we may, you know, boldly approach your throne, Lord, we just thank you so much, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that we are truly washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. You are the true sacrificial Lamb, Lord. You paid it all. You paid it in full for us. And Father God, may we lack in nothing, Lord, because in you, Father, we just have everything. May we die to self, Lord, continuously, and may we continue, Lord, to live in Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you for the word, Lord, that you've given to Conrad over these last number of weeks. And Father, we just ask you to bless him and Sandy, Lord, for everything that they're doing, Lord, through this teaching and just as a couple, Lord, and their mighty ministry of prayer for people as well. Just thank you for them in God's name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.